ions wielding tremendous power. Enormous crystal chandeliers cast light that glittered off priceless jewels and glossy, perfectly coiffed locks. Crystal glasses clinked against each other, and the hum of conversation sounded like a swarm of bees. In the midst of it all, Jackson Rutledge stood out from the crowd. His hair was nearly as dark as his tuxedo, his skin lightly tanned, his eyes framed by arrogantly slashed brows. The beautifully tailored tux hugged his broad shoulders and emphasized the length of his legs. Discreetly, I licked my lips. Mine. Jax would have caught my eye no matter what, but it was the look in his eyes that set my heart racing.
I still love that dress,
he said, handing me a flute and bending to kiss my shoulder. My lips curved against the mouth of the glass. The muted gold gown had been the first one I'd tried on, and he'd voted for it on sight, shaking his head at the three dresses I had tried on after it. A smooth column of lined silk poured down my body, held in place by thin beaded straps at my shoulders and back. I'd been wary of the color at first, but the gown did a splendid job of hinting at my curves instead of hugging them. Thank you. He turned to face the room, his hand coming to rest on my hip in a blatantly possessive display of ownership.
In a couple of hours, we can fly back to New York, or we can grab a room here in the hotel.
Or join the Mile High Club? After all, what's the point of taking a private jet if we don't get naughty in it?
His fingers flexed into my flesh. And once again, I have an erection in public. Thank you very much.
I laughed and leaned into him. What do you need to do here?
Not sure.
He took a drink.
Once Parker shows up, I'll have an idea.
He relies on you a lot, doesn't he? Jack shrugged, but I saw the tightness around his mouth again. It was soon echoed by a corresponding tautness to his big frame, and when I followed his gaze, I saw why. Parker and Regina Rutledge had arrived. The two stood near the entrance to the ballroom, surrounded by those who wanted to rub shoulders with a Rutledge. There were several of them in attendance, but Parker was the wizard behind the curtain whom everyone wanted to see. He looked over at Jax and me, smiling when he caught my eye, and then glancing at Jax. A silent bit of communication passed between them.
Give me a second, babe.
Jax murmured. Then he walked away, striding easily through a crowd that parted for him. I watched him until he reached his father, studying both men for body language.
Well, you cleaned up nicely,
a familiar voice said beside me. Turning my head, I looked at Allison Rutledge, formerly Allison Kelsey. I raked her with a glance, noting the changes. I'd barely seen her the night I escorted Ian, so I took the opportunity. She was thinner than she had been in Vegas, and she'd been slender then. Polished and perfect in a brittle way, she appeared to have hardened and grown more jaded. There was a world-weariness in her eyes that echoed what I occasionally saw in Jack's. But she was still as beautiful as ever, with dark hair cut into a sleek bob that framed delicate features and big blue eyes. Her aqua-hued gown was a lovely contrast to her porcelain skin. Hello, Allison, I said, turning my attention back to the two darkly handsome Rutledge men across the room.
That's a beautiful dress.
She examined me. Gretchen must be partial to it. She suggested it to me as well, but it's not my style. I took another sip of champagne to hide how I felt at the unexpected mention of the stylist's name. So, Gretchen was an ace in the hole for the entire Rutledge family. Nice to know. You might be surprised to hear that it wasn't my first choice either. Her smile was anything but friendly.
You're smart to let Jackson dress you. But then you're obviously smarter than I gave you credit for, or you wouldn't be here.
Can you go be a bitch somewhere else? I said, waving my hand carelessly. This is my space, and you need to see your way out of it.
If I remember correctly, you're not a woman who likes pretense and bullshit, so I'm not shoveling any your way.
We have to get along after all. Might as well start now.
We don't have to do anything.
My gaze flickered over to her. I suggest we do our best to avoid one another. Her brows rose as if she were surprised. Then she laughed, the sound as melodious as her voice.
That's not how this works, Gianna.
You and I are going to be best friends, as far as public knowledge goes. We'll have lunch and shop together. Ted and I will have dinner with you and Jackson. We'll go to ball games and exhibitions, all sorts of things where we'll smile at the camera and look tighter than sisters.
You've had too much champagne.
I'll let Jackson explain it to you. Her eyes were suspiciously bright, which got my back up.
Explain what?
Regina Rutledge asked, joining us.
Ted's upcoming mayoral bid. Jackson's outdone himself this time.
My hand tightened around the stem of my glass, alarm bells ringing. Regina's mouth curved, but her voice came cold and sharp.
I think you should leave Gianna to Jackson. He's very protective.
I get the hint.
Allison looked at me.
I'll plan for us to have dinner in the city soon. Enjoy yourself, Gianna. And again, you look stunning. That dress was made for you.
She glided off, and I rubbed my nose with my middle finger, discreetly flipping her off before dismissing her and looking away. Parker still had Jax at his side, his hand resting on his son's shoulder as they spoke to a white-haired gentleman whose face was vaguely familiar.
Don't pay her any mind,
Regina said, stepping into my line of sight. Her blonde hair skimmed her shoulders in stylized waves that were reminiscent of the heydays of Hollywood starlets.
She's jealous. She has a Rutledge, but...
She lifted one shoulder in a careless shrug.
Ted isn't Jackson or Parker.
I silently agreed with that. It's nice seeing you again, I said instead. Her mouth curved.
You and I are lucky women. Trust me, Jackson's stamina won't fade with time.
My brows lifted. Even though Regina was nearer to my age than her husband's, she was still Jax's stepmother. It felt weird talking to her about sex with our men. Jax appeared in front of me, taking my flute and passing it to Regina. His dark eyes hot on my face, he caught my hand and pulled me to him.
Dance with me.
He led me onto the dance floor, his arms coming around me.
You're the most beautiful woman here.
Flattery will get you everywhere. It was heady being in Jax's arms in public, nearly as heady as being held by him in private. I have to say, though, that I'd rather not work with stylists who are also working with Allison. I don't like her, Jax. His fingers stroked over my back.
She's not one of my favorite people either, but she's married to Ted. She's family.
I'm done with her treating me like I'm the scratching post for her claws.
She can be a raging bitch,
he agreed.
But she has those claws for a reason. You'll need them too, Gia.
I treated him to a sulky stare. I know you think I'm not strong enough to deal with your life, and I'm going to prove you wrong. That said, I am not going to go out of my way to spend time with people who give me grief.
So, the part about us acting as a team, that only applies to things you choose?
That's not fair. I would never ask you to just suffer quietly while people insult you. I respect you more than that.
A muscle ticked in his jaw. It's not about respect, Gia. I shouldn't have to tell you that I'm going to talk to Allison about how she approaches you. That should be obvious. But whether we like her or not, we've all got to work together.
I don't have to do anything for her.
Then do it for me.
He snapped.
This is my life. I was very clear about how unpleasant some parts of it may be for you.
I was startled by his vehemence. You don't like this any more than I do. I know you don't. You don't want to be here at this party. It'd be different if you were asking me to hang in there because of something that's really important to you, but that's not the case.
I made my bed, Gia,
he said tightly, his face hard and remote.
and you made the decision to lie in it with me.
I shook my head, trying to reconcile the Jax in front of me with the one I'd first met. That Jax had been fun-loving, larger than life, a hedonist in many ways. I don't understand you. Life is short, Jax. Why spend time doing things that don't make you happy?
Doing you makes me very happy.
I shoved at his shoulder. Be serious. This is important. I really need to know. He didn't answer me for a minute, long enough for one song to end and another to begin. I felt a change move through him, the quickening of his breath and a tightening of his hold on me.
The time for me to make a different choice came and went a long time ago.
That's a cop-out. You're not even 30. Your whole life is ahead of you, and nothing is behind you that you can't fix.
Jax looked over my shoulder, his gaze distant and unfocused, as if he were seeing something I couldn't.
Sometimes you can't go back,
he muttered.
You just have to face the consequences and own your mistakes.
You don't have to keep making new ones.
I cupped his cheek, returning his attention back to me.
We're starting over, Jax. We've got a second chance to get it right. Let's not waste energy on people and situations that just drag us down.
He heaved out his breath, then pressed a quick, hard kiss to my forehead.
Let's get out of here.
7.
You look fantastic, my best friend Lynn said, checking me out. I haven't seen you look this good since Vegas. Considering that was a couple years ago, I'm not feeling too hot about that compliment. I was teasing her, and she knew it, just as I knew I was looking pretty good lately. 3 weeks of living with Jax had led to me dropping about 5 pounds, the honeymoon diet without the honeymoon. Jax was insatiable, and I was eating better because of it. There was a greater incentive to make smart food choices when you knew someone was going to be seeing you naked every day. She laughed and glanced around Rossi's. This place looks great, too. Business at both Rossi's location was brisk, due in part to media mentions of Jax and me. Because I'd made an effort to avoid hearing anything about Jax while we were apart, I hadn't realized just how often his name made the news. He'd said the gossip blogs and social media hounds would love me, but he hadn't mentioned how much they loved him. The public wanted him in office. He was young, gorgeous, a Rutledge, and he had just enough ruthlessness to put him on the right side of edgy. The eye candy is delicious, as always, Lynn went on, her attention drifting to Vincent, who was working the bar. He looked up, caught her eye, and winked.
Be still, my heart, she said, tucking a stray lock of her red hair behind her ear and blowing him a kiss. I groaned.
He's got a big enough head already.
Wouldn't I like to find out?
Ew!
I rolled my eyes. I'd suggested we meet at Rossi's because I wanted to relax without worrying about someone snapping a picture of me. I'd gotten used to having a bodyguard around all the time, but at Rossi's, I had the added eyes of my family watching out for invasions of my privacy. She shot me a sympathetic look.
Is it really bad?
It's not terrible. I'm not a celebrity or anything, but there always seems to be one or two photographers lurking around.
Stalker rat bastards.
I shrugged, having accepted them as part of my life. Whenever I got irritated, I reminded myself that Jax had broken both our hearts to protect me from the attention. If I'd learned anything over the past 3 weeks, it was how happy being with Jax could make me. I couldn't remember ever being happier.
I just have to be careful, that's all.
Twisting on her bar stool, she faced me, her long legs kicking playfully. Dressed in a long floral maxi and jean jacket with a ton of bracelets and necklaces that she made and sold herself, she rocked bohemian elegance.
How is Jackson, anyway? I mean, on an ordinary day. He seems so intense in interviews.
He is, but he can also be playful and funny. He makes me laugh every day. She grinned.
Look at that smile on your face. almost makes up for his conservative politics. I rolled my eyes, not wanting to get into a discussion about Lynn's liberal views. I left that to my dad, who loved to talk to her about their similar stances on issues. That's not to say he can't be stubborn, irrational, frustrating. A man? Yeah. So, speaking of politics, we weren't, I said firmly. She gave me a toothy grin. I was. You managed to get the tribe all together in one place yet? Not yet. My feet tapped on the brass foot rail. Shooting for a brunch this Saturday. It's the only time we could get everyone together. God, you're going to have to give me all the details. Wish I could listen in. That's going to be a hell of a brunch. She wasn't wrong. In most ways, the Rossies and Rutledges were two different breeds of family. I took a bite of a crostini, then glanced at my smartphone as it buzzed on the bar. The text message from Jax made me smile. Bring home lasagna. Lynn glanced at it, too. Girl, don't tell me the romance is over already. My phone vibrated again.
I've got the gelato to lick off your body.
She laughed, and I laughed with her. I need a boyfriend. Her gaze slid over to where Vincent was shaking up a drink. Or a booty call. I distracted her from my heartbreaker of a brother. How's work? Busy. She played with her long necklaces. Internet sales are really picking up. If my rent and taxes keep going up too, I may close the store and just focus on the online business. Really? But you love that store. I knew how hard Lynn had worked to open it, and how much she'd wanted to prove that her jewelry making and pottery weren't just worthless hobbies. She shrugged, but I could see it bothered her. Wouldn't be so bad to set my own hours and have more time to come up with new concepts. I could also travel to more conventions and shows, which might be better for me. I wanted to keep her thinking positively. I could use more of your business cards. I wore your amethyst earrings to a party last week and got a ton of compliments on them. Yeah? She brightened. That's great. Thank you. I gestured for Vincent to refill our beers while Lynn pulled some business cards out of her behemoth of a purse. How's work going for you? She asked when she handed them over. Good. You still love it? I do, yes. I smiled at Vincent as he set two fresh, full glasses in front of us and took the others away. What aren't you telling me? I shot my best friend a narrowed glance. She was too perceptive. Nothing. And your boss is totally okay with you and Jackson? She prodded. Sighing, I picked up another crostini. We don't talk about it. Which is okay because she's my boss and not my friend, but still. You think she's got a problem with it? I'd say she's taking it pretty well, considering I'm living with the guy who is doing business with the man who screwed her over. She still trusts me with sensitive information. But there's something between us that wasn't there before. And that bothered me. A lot. What are you going to do? What can I do? I chewed and swallowed, chasing the toast down with a swig of beer. I figure she's waiting to see how it all shakes out. After enough time passes, maybe she'll feel better about the whole thing. Lynn wrinkled her nose. Have you talked to Jackson? Can't. He's a fixer. He'll want to step in and smooth things over, and that might make things even more uncomfortable. That's probably the best endorsement you could have made for him, in my eyes. Every gal wants their best friend to end up with a guy willing to slay their dragons. She winked. And lick gelato off them. Laughing, I turned my head and glanced around the packed restaurant. Walk-in patrons waited in the foyer by reception, while tables were turned with brisk efficiency, thanks to my dad's insistence on a robust service staff. Families mixed with couples and groups, while a popular television star enjoyed the illusion of anonymity at her favorite table. A camera flash caught my eye, luring my attention to what looked to be a birthday party. Above the din of conversation and the clattering of silverware, an Italian tenor sang about love and loss through the speaker system. Contentment slid through me, as it always did when I was at Rossi's. "Did hell just freeze over?" Lynn asked, bringing my gaze back to her. "Huh?" She gestured with a jerk of her chin, and I followed. Blinking, I took in the sight of my dad standing beside Ted Rutledge, who had his arm tossed across his shoulders. Ted was dressed in a suit and tie, while my father wore his usual white chef's coat, black pants, and red Rossi's apron. Giovanni Rossi remained a striking man, with a full head of salt-and-pepper hair and a strong jaw. A photographer snapped their photo.
"Hard to tell from here," she said. "Is that a campaign button on his shirt?"
I looked at my dad first, then at Ted. Sure enough, Ted had something pinned to his jacket.
"Second time he's been here this week," Vincent said behind me.
When I looked at my brother, I saw the muscle ticking in his jaw. "I didn't know anything about this," I told him.
"Yeah?"
His brown eyes were hard.
"Can Jackson say that?"
Lynn took off around 8, but I decided to stay and wait until closing so I could talk to my dad. I also decided to head back to the loft with Angelo and Vincent. Because I didn't want to get into it with Jax when I was tired and cranky, I sent a text letting him know I wasn't coming home, and then dropped my phone back into my purse. I sipped at a glass of anisette decorated with a lemon twist. After seeing my dad with Ted, a liqueur was calming. I felt Jax enter the restaurant before I saw him. I'd always been attuned to him, but it had gotten more intense since we started living together.
"Gia."
His hand slid possessively over my hips, his warmth radiating into my back. I glanced at Vincent, who was scowling at us, and spoke over my shoulder to Jax. "What are you doing here?"
"Picking you up."
His arms encircled my waist.
"You didn't really think I was going to let you spend the night somewhere else."
I finished my drink. "I didn't realize I was a prisoner." He stiffened at my tone, then whispered,
"If we're going to fight, we'll do it at home."
"I don't want to fight, which is why I wasn't coming home." Jack stepped back.
"Let's go."
"You're not listening." Spinning me around in my seat, he bent over me.
"You haven't said anything yet worth listening to."
"Excuse me?" I glared at him, trying to ignore how sexy he looked in a black V-neck sweater and loose-fitting jeans. He set his hands on the bar on either side of me, caging me in.
"I'm not leaving you here to drink and stew over whatever's got you pissed off, and I sure as hell am not sleeping alone."
"Back off, Jackson," Vincent ordered, coming up to us.
Jax's head snapped up.
"You're her brother, and you're watching out for her. I respect that. But she's my girl, and I love her, and you need to respect that. Don't stick your nose in our business." "She doesn't want to go. She doesn't have to go."
"Don't talk around me like I'm not here," I said crossly, shooting both of them a warning look. "I don't appreciate Rutledge's coming in here and yanking my family and me around. You said you wanted to protect us from the public eye, not drag us out in front of it." I saw when Jax understood what had me riled. Then his face closed off and gave nothing away.
"And you're welcome to hash it out with me. At home."
"It's late, and I have to work tomorrow. Plus, I want to talk to my dad about this Ted thing, whatever it is. Obviously, I don't know because no one saw fit to tell me."
"I've talked to your dad about this," he said,
sounding so condescendingly reasonable he made my teeth grit.
"And I don't want to hear about it being late when you're sitting here drinking."
"Newsflash, Jackson. I'm old enough to drink a glass of liqueur, and anything else I feel like drinking.
Are you mature enough?
What the fuck does that mean?
He reached down and grabbed my purse from the hook beneath the bar. Getting drunk isn't helping anybody.
I'm not getting drunk!
Good. He gave me a tight smile. Then you've got no reason to stay.
Jax!
We should both stop talking now.
He leaned down until we were at eye level.
There is no scenario where I walk out of here without you.
Gianna?
Vincent said.
You want me to deal with this?
I've got it. I slid off the bar stool, suddenly very much in the mood to fight. At least if Jax was dealing with just me, it would be somewhat fair. If my brothers got into it with him, fists would start flying. I'll call you later. Jax jerked his chin at Vincent in a silent goodbye, then set his hand at my elbow to lead me out. He dismissed the bodyguard who'd been hovering by the entrance, then steered me into the cool night air toward a sleek, sexy car waiting in a no-parking zone. I checked the vehicle out while Jax opened the passenger door for me. It wasn't the kind of car a person rented. It was, however, the kind of car that suited Jax perfectly. That impression was solidified when he got behind the wheel and the engine roared to life, then pulled away from the curb with crisp agility and a powerful purr. Jax didn't say anything further on the ride back to the penthouse, allowing the tension between us to thicken and grow hotter. He handled the expensive sports car with commanding ease, completely relaxed amid the chaos of Manhattan streets and aggressive swerving cabbies. It wasn't until we got into the elevator at our apartment building that I broke the silence, unable to bear the weight of his stare. What did you talk to my dad about?
Having Rossi's featured as a thriving and expanding small business.
Featured in what?
Various materials.
I crossed my arms. Political materials?
He arched one of his brows. What else?
Why didn't you tell me?
Because we don't talk about work, yours or mine.
The elevator doors opened and he gestured me out ahead of him. I cleared us through the security system and entered the penthouse. I think we need to straighten something out. I tossed my purse on the armchair. My understanding is that your work is in finance.
And you work with Lei Yun,
he countered, shutting the door behind us.
Doesn't stop you from getting into your family business, does it?
I rounded on him. I would never have a conversation with your dad without telling you!
You can't say that yet.
He pulled his sweater off, revealing the gorgeous, chiseled bare torso I couldn't help eyeing.
And why aren't you equally pissed at your dad for not saying anything?
He had a point, which irritated me. I hated how I suddenly felt like I was being irrational. What are you doing?
He headed for the hallway. Getting ready for bed.
I'm too pissed to sleep with you.
Sweetheart.
He tossed over his shoulder.
I feel the same way.
I kicked off my heels and went after him, following him into the bedroom. He towed off his shoes and shucked his jeans, magnificently naked in an instant. He'd been commando beneath those jeans. My brain scrambled for a minute. Then I fought back by getting naked, too. I don't want my family being used.
I don't want my girlfriend making assumptions about my motives.
Jax yanked the covers back and slid into bed.
You're the one who keeps telling me that your family can't be trusted.
He settled against the headboard.
But you didn't get mad at my family, did you? You got mad at me. And instead of asking me about it, you decided to drink and close ranks.
I wouldn't have to ask you about it if you told me in advance.
I headed into the bathroom.
But whatever. You're always right, aren't you, Jax?
Seems to me I'm always in the wrong,
he muttered after me. I turned on the shower and scrubbed my makeup off while the water heated. When I stepped into the stall, I took my time, dragging out the shower as long as I could in the hopes that Jax would fall asleep and stop talking. Closing my eyes, I stood beneath the spray. Jax was a man who cowed other dominant men with a single glance.
He talked around others, refused to cede any ground whatsoever, and he was a painfully sharp strategist. I respected all those things about him. I was attracted to and aroused by his self-command. But I really hated how he could retreat behind that rigid control and put me on the outside, shutting me out and dealing with me like an opponent. I couldn't imagine living the rest of my life being treated that way.
"Am I going to have to drag you out of there, too?"
Jack said, opening the floating glass door and standing amid the steam that surged eagerly around his bared body. "Go away," I told him wearily, shutting off the taps. "I'm sleeping in the guest room tonight." His jaw tightened. His chest expanded on a deep, slow breath. He paused.
"I'm sorry."
Nodding, I pushed him back and stepped around him. "Thank you for that. I'm sorry, too. We both handled this badly." I shrugged into the terry cloth robe hanging on a hook, then wrapped my hair in a turban to wring it dry. "Good night, Jax." He followed me through the bedroom, grabbing me by the elbow when I approached the door to the hallway.
"Don't be like this. I said I'm sorry, and I meant it."
Stopping, I looked at him. "I know you did, and I meant it too, but it doesn't fix a fundamental problem we're having with the way we communicate. We don't talk about family, we don't talk about work. We hang out together and fuck, which makes us more friends with benefits than anything, doesn't it?" He pulled me closer, stepping into me at the same time so that he was pressed up against me.
"I love you, Gia. More than I've ever loved anything. You know that."
I sighed. "And I love you enough that I couldn't get over you, even after I thought you'd dumped me like trash. But that means you can hurt me real bad, Jax. I'm having a hard time living on the periphery of your life. And if being with you hurts worse than being without you, I've got to decide what's the best thing for me to do."
"You're the center of my life."
His hands went to my shoulders.
"There isn't a moment that goes by when I'm not thinking about you."
"That may be true, but you've got a unique ability to cut me off, and I'm not sure I can live with that."
"You're cutting me off now,"
he accused.
"You cut me off earlier tonight."
"So, once again, we're both handling this badly. Maybe that's a sign. Listen, I've got to get some sleep. We can talk about this tomorrow, okay?" He cupped my nape.
"Sleep with me. I'll keep my hands to myself if that's what you want."
I ached to do what he asked, but I also worried that we'd just be putting a band-aid on something that needed a lot more work. "I want to sleep in the guest room." I pulled away and left the room, feeling his eyes on my back as he stepped out into the hallway after me. Surprisingly, I fell asleep quickly, despite having damp hair and a painfully tight chest. Sometime during the night, I felt Jack slip into the bed with me. I rolled to my side, hugged my pillow, and went back to sleep. 8. It was a relief to arrive at work the next day. I woke up next to a brooding and uncommunicative Jax. The rest of our shared morning had been thick with tension. On the walk to the subway, I texted my dad, asking him to call me when he could. Then I scrolled through my email. Adrenaline surged through me when I saw Deanna's name. I'd nearly forgotten about the favor I had asked of her. Once reminded, I couldn't help but hope for news. "Please have something for me," I muttered to myself as I arrived at my station and hurried up the steps to reach the street. I was damned near desperate to have something, anything, that would give me insight into the man I loved. Unfortunately, her email only read to call her, and I reached Deanna's voicemail when I tried. I didn't hear back from her before I reached Saver, where I had to silence my smartphone and tuck it away. "Good morning," I greeted Lay when she arrived.
"Good morning."
She tilted her head to the side. "Everything all right?" I blinked, startled by the question.
Everything's great. She hesitated, then said,
Come into my office.
I followed her, taking a deep breath in preparation for whatever might be coming my way. Lei bypassed her desk and settled into one of the gray club chairs in the seating area, looking younger, with her hair hanging straight and loose, even with the wicked cool streak of silver. She waited until I took the matching chair before grinning.
Things have been strained between us the last few weeks. I really regret that.
The tension left my shoulders. I do too.
I'm concerned for you, and I have my reservations about Jackson. But really,
she swiveled her chair to face me directly.
The problem is with me. I'm projecting my own experience onto you.
You mean Ian?
Her red mouth curved without humor. It must be obvious that I loved him. He was my whole world. If you'd asked me then, I would have told you that he'd never betray me, that he didn't have it in him. I would have told you he loved me too much to do anything like that.
What happened? I had never broached the subject before, but now that she'd opened the door, I was dying to know what had helped shape my boss into the woman she was today.
We were working on a deal. The negotiations had been tough, but I had the advantage, and Ian let me run with it.
A thoughtful wrinkle appeared on her otherwise smooth forehead.
Unfortunately, sometimes I get so focused on the hunt itself that I forget to pay attention to my prey.
She looked out the windows at the Manhattan skyline.
I was too confident, and I pushed for too much without giving enough in return. Worse, I made the man on the other side of the negotiating table feel insignificant and powerless. Somewhere along the way, he decided he'd do anything to put me in my place.
What place?
Behind Ian, instead of beside him. I think Bruce was insulted that Ian had him doing business with me. I don't think he ever saw me as Ian's partner, just Ian's piece of ass. So that's what he used against us.
How?
He kept setting up recurring meetings with me, telling me he needed clarification on different points or wanted to discuss alternatives. We met in the restaurants of the hotels he was staying in at the time, just as you and I did with the Williams twins at the Four Seasons. It wasn't until later that I understood he'd been creating a paper trail to prove he and I had been having an affair.
Oh, Lei.
I felt a little of her remembered suffering. Her tone of voice carried so much pain.
What did you do?
Nothing. And maybe that was the wrong choice. Ian is prone to jealousy, so he's especially vulnerable in that regard. I refused to confirm or deny his accusations because I was so hurt that he'd given them any credence at all. I told him to figure it out for himself, and apparently I was tried and convicted.
Jeez, I'm sorry.
She shrugged off my sympathy, but gave me a rueful smile. It's been over a long time now. I drummed my fingers on the armrests of my chair as I warred with myself about discussing Jax with someone who didn't trust him. I valued Lei's opinion, but it wasn't objective when it came to Jackson Rutledge. In the end, though, I told her because of her bias. I wanted an extreme, worst-case scenario opinion. Lei sat forward as I spoke, and by the time I finished, she'd set her elbows on her knees and her chin on her hands. So he's withholding information from you. People keep secrets for two main reasons: to protect themselves or to protect someone else. Do you have any thoughts about which direction Jackson is moving in?
I'm not sure. With everything else we've faced, I could see him trying to shield me from something. But this? I can't help feeling like he didn't want me to know my family was being used to further a Rutledge agenda.
If that's the case, it probably won't be the last time. How do you feel about that?
Pissed? How can he say he loves me and then do things that I have a problem with?
That's a question you have to ask him.
Sooner rather than later. Lei had just reaffirmed what I already knew, but it was still valuable to have my position confirmed. Now I just had to prepare myself for what I'd do once I got the answer. When my lunch break rolled around, I checked my smartphone and saw I'd missed a callback from Deanna. I headed to one of Saver's conference rooms for privacy, passing Lakani, who was arranging a new display of branded spices and seasonings on the shelf behind her reception desk. She waved as I passed, and I complimented her on the kick-ass red pantsuit she was wearing. I was smiling when I entered the same conference room where I'd taken Jax when he visited Saver. That memory helped alleviate some of the nervous anticipation I felt when I dialed Deanna's number.
Deanna, she greeted me. Glad we got past the game of phone tag.
Me too. How are you?
Excellent. Hang on. Let me move somewhere more quiet.
A moment later, the background noise of multiple people talking at once disappeared.
So, I looked into the Rutledges, focusing on Leslie Rutledge, as you suggested. You've got great instincts. I hit a gold mine with that one.
Oh? A shiver of unease slid down my spine. The family had her committed to a sanitarium for a few months. It was after she was released that she disappeared from public view. There were some rumors back then, nothing concrete, but now I've got a reliable source. My gut twisted. I started pacing.
I can't confirm what kind of mental illness she had,
Deanna went on.
But the real story here is that she was expendable. She had a problem, and they packed her up out of sight.
You don't know that? I thought of the photos of Leslie in Jax's living room. He hadn't forgotten her.
Yeah, I do. Just a minute.
The receiver was muffled, then. Anyway, more details will emerge after the story breaks.
They always do.
I straightened, panicked.
What do you mean, after the story breaks? It's news, and about to be public knowledge.
That wasn't the deal.
What deal?
Deanna shot back.
We didn't have one beyond you paying me for my time, which I won't be collecting on because this is going to pay off in other ways.
You can't run this story, I hissed, circling the conference table with angry strides.
It's already done, Deanna. Your name isn't mentioned, so don't worry about that.
Listen, I've got to go. I just wanted to give you a heads up and say thanks. Take care, all right? She hung up, and my smartphone disconnected before I'd even lowered the phone from my ear. I left the conference room in a rage, so pissed I could hardly see straight. I was as furious with myself as I was with Deanna. How could I not have foreseen the possibility that she'd use the information she found?
Your man knows how to treat you right,
Lakani said as I passed her again.
I just set another delivery on your desk.
Cringing inwardly, I felt the weight of guilt on my shoulders. The sight of pure white lilies next to my phone damn near closed off my throat. I plucked off the attached card.
I'm waving the white flag of surrender. I love you, baby. We'll talk tonight.
Jax had signed the card, but his signature blurred amid my anxious tears. Worse than the violation of his privacy, I feared that such personal revelations about his mother would hurt him deeply. Her pictures in the living room of our home told me he had cared for her, but his reluctance to talk about her suggested the topic was painful. And now the world would know about her, and I was directly to blame. I touched a velvet soft petal. We've screwed up something perfect, I said softly. Sinking into my chair, I started to plan how best to tell him what I'd done. I had a good handle on how I wanted to open the subject of Deanna's story when the elevators on the penthouse floor opened and I stepped out into chaos. I paused, shocked. The front door was open, and through it I could see a dozen people in suits pacing in my living room with smartphones pressed to their ears. The queasiness I'd felt all day worsened until I thought I might be sick right there in the foyer. When I crossed the threshold into the apartment, I looked for Jax.
I couldn't find him. But Parker was there in front of the entertainment center, his gaze on the photos of his late wife. He would have stood out from the melee on sheer presence, but unmoving amid the frenetic swarm of visitors, he riveted me. He turned his head toward me. I watched as the recognition of my presence set in. He started toward me. "What's going on?" I asked, although I feared I already knew the answer.
"We're trying to put out a fire. I'm sorry we've taken over, but Jackson prefers to handle some issues from his home office."
"Is there anything I can do?" His mouth, so like Jax's, twisted wryly.
"I could use a drink. Something strong, preferably."
"Okay." I looked around him to the console by the window where crystal decanters held the world's finest liquors. I frowned when I saw only a vase of flowers atop it. "I'll get you something."
"Thanks. I'll put your purse in your bedroom,"
he offered, holding out his hand for it. As he set off down the hallway, I maneuvered through the men and women wandering around the sunken living room. Bits and pieces of conversations washed over me. "Confirm the source. Should consider possible defamation and slander liabilities.
A declaration of war against the Rutledge family isn't wise."
My hands were shaking when I opened the doors of the console. The crystal decanters were tucked neatly inside, but they were empty. I made my way back to the kitchen where I discovered an empty wine fridge. Confused, I faced Parker when he returned. "Looks like we're out of everything."
"I couldn't find anything either."
"I'm sorry, I'll call the concierge. Is there anything in particular you'd like?" He touched my arm.
"I'll take care of it. Why don't you hole up in your room and get out of this mess?"
"I feel like I should help somehow."
"Just take care of my son,"
he murmured.
"Leave this to me."
My mouth opened to say something, but nothing came out. I didn't know what to say. I ended up nodding and heading down the hallway, passing my room and going to Jax's home office instead. He was alone in there, standing in front of the window with his arms crossed as he barked at someone through a headset.
"We need those records." "Yes, I understand that, and I don't give a shit. Don't think whatever this is won't blow back on you, too." "Right. I'll be at this number."
He tapped the earpiece, then pivoted abruptly, stilling when he saw me standing in front of his desk.
"Gia."
He fell silent. Shoving a hand through his hair, he cursed softly. He looked worn and edgy. He'd ditched his jacket and tossed it over a chair in the corner. His vest was unbuttoned, as was the button at the throat of his shirt. His tie was loosened, and the shadow of evening stubble on his tight jaw gave him a dangerous appeal. "Hi," I said quietly.
"Baby,"
he sighed.
"I'm sorry about this. Something's come up, and we've got to get a handle on it."
"What is it?"
"We got a tip today about an article that's supposedly going out tomorrow, and I'm trying to get details about the reporter and her piece."
I swallowed hard. "Deanna Johnson?"
Jax froze. "You know her?"
"She used to date Vincent."
"Fuck."
He scowled.
"I need all of her contact info. Email, mobile, and home numbers, address."
"All right." I stepped closer. "Jax, we have to talk."
"I know. And we will. But I can't right now."
"This is my fault." He came to me and pressed a kiss to my forehead.
"No, I should have talked to you about Ted, and..."
His smartphone started ringing on his desk.
"I have to get this."
He tapped his earpiece.
"Rutledge,"
he answered briskly. Then,
"That's a start. How quickly can you get them to me?"
He turned his back to me and I clenched my fists. I left the room to fetch my smartphone and get the information he'd asked for. I was just going to have to blurt it out before he cut me off. I hated to blindside him like that, but he needed to know. With my cell in hand, I headed back to his office and closed the door behind me.
He was off the phone and sitting at his desk, reading something on his monitor. I have the information you wanted. I walked up to him. Deanna's written an article about your mother. About how the family had her committed to an institution. His head snapped back as if I'd hit him physically.
You talked to her?
I swallowed past the painful lump in my throat. Weeks ago, and again this afternoon. I'm so sorry, Jax. I should never have contacted her. I had no idea. He stared at me, unblinking, his body so still I knew I'd knocked his legs right out from under him.
Sit down, he ordered with a dangerous softness, and tell me what the fuck you're talking about.
I practically fell into the seat in front of his desk, my knees shaking from the way he looked at me. His dark eyes were like a shark's, hard and lifeless. Remember when I said I was going to do some research and...
You went to a goddamned reporter?
He surged to his feet and slapped his palms down hard on his desktop.
Are you insane?
I contacted Deanna as a friend, before you talked to me about never having privacy again.
Do you realize what you've done? How much damage this might cause? My mother's disease was never supposed to become fodder for the fucking media.
Jax. I stood, then flinched when he shoved away from his desk so violently he knocked his desk chair over. I know this is terribly personal and painful, but a lot of families are impacted by mental illness. People are going to understand, and...
She wasn't crazy, Gia,
he said coldly.
She was a drunk.
The venom in his voice took me aback. He faced the window.
She couldn't handle the pressure.
That single statement told me so much. My eyes burned as memories coalesced in my mind and were refracted back with a clarity I'd lacked before. Alcoholism is an illness, Jax. You said it yourself.
She was weak.
His arms crossed.
She married the wrong man for what she wanted.
They loved each other. That's what you told me before. He shrugged.
Parker is trying to change the world. She would have preferred him to just change the light bulb or a channel on the television.
She didn't like politics?
She didn't like the life that goes with them.
Jax faced me.
Agendas require allies, and allies require compromises. She didn't like some of the compromises that had to be made. Alcohol was liquid courage for her. She used it as a crutch.
I deflated into my chair, overloaded by the emotional highs and lows I'd bounced between all day. I wanted nothing more than to crawl into bed with Jax and hold him, but I knew he'd never let me help. That stung. Jax, when you said someone you loved had been torn up by the stress, you were talking about her, weren't you? He flinched. And I finally felt like I had a shot at understanding him. I certainly understood why he'd been such an ass about the drink I'd had at Rossi's, and why there was suddenly no alcohol in the apartment. If he thought the situation with Ted and my dad was enough to drive me to drink, he'd worry about how future, more stressful incidences would affect me. And I couldn't forget that we'd met in a bar.
She was a lot like you.
He said in a tone that wasn't complimentary at all.
Her family, her expectations of what a relationship with my dad would be like. She thought that being politically aware and active was a choice, instead of a responsibility.
I felt the need to defend Leslie Rutledge, a woman I would never meet, but still sympathized with. It wasn't easy living with the rules Jack set but didn't always share. If she was kept in the dark like me, I don't blame her for not being on the same page with the rest of you.
My dad told her everything. That was his mistake. He wanted her approval, but all he did was alienate her. Sometimes the end justifies the means, and the means can be ugly.
I took a shaky breath. You're so angry with her.
I have a right to be.
She tried to make me choose between her vision and my father's. No one should be forced into that position, least of all a teenager.
He rolled his shoulders back.
I can't get into this with you now. I've got to do something, damage control, if that's even possible.
What can I do? Closing his eyes, he bowed his head. The defeat in his posture broke my heart, but his next words cut me wide open.
You should go stay with your brothers tonight, and pack a couple days' worth of clothes.
Pain made me lash out in self-defense.
Did you cut your mom off like this too? Is that how you deal with the people who you love when they inconvenience you?
For all of her faults?
He bit out between clenched teeth.
She never sabotaged us.
That's not fair. I made a mistake, Jax, and I can't begin to tell you how sorry I am. But I made it because I love you, not because I wanted to hurt you.
He opened his eyes.
This whole relationship has been a mistake.
The flat finality in his voice sent ice coursing through my veins.
You know what, Jackson Rutledge? Fuck you!
9.
I get why you did it, Nico said, but I'd be